Listen in to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Yes, welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9. And it's another evening of excitement, I think, particularly creepy excitement tonight. And in the studio, we've got some great guests. Welcome back to the show, Brendan.
Thank you for having me once again, Sonia.
That's great.
I'm very happy to be here.
You laugh now. Bailey is returned as well.
Hello, thanks for having me again.
Bailey and Ralph. And Kyle is our very special guest. Kyle Evans, welcome.
Good evening.
Okay. You're not a regular yet, but who knows? Anything could happen after tonight's show here on Sci-Fi and Scream. And thanks to the guys from Catching Up. A great show once again. Some cool music to go into. But we had something we normally don't really play. Robert Miles with, I think it's called Children, Bailey's Choice.
Yep,
why did you choose
children.
That?
Why? Because apparently the theme of tonight is creepy children. And we wanted some children-themed music, right?
Yeah, right.
What better than a song named Children?
Well, one would hope. It just wasn't very creepy, though.
No, we're lulling people into a false sense of security.
Uncreepy.
This is the candy that we offer before we, like, bludgeon you over the head with.
Oh, right, okay. With children and... Yes. I see tricycles. But yeah. I'm giving away one of my favourites with a tricycle.
Oh.
You know the scene I'm talking about.
I think I know it.
You think you know. But look, we'll go straight to our guest in the studio who's a bit quiet right now. And who can blame him? Kyle, welcome again.
Hey, how you doing? I'm just a bit put off because you start talking about creepy children and I wonder what I've got myself into here.
But it seems quite interesting why we've got you here. Because you're involved with something called Child's Play. It just happens to be called that.
Yeah, nothing to do with the 80s slasher thing.
No, I hope not. But Child's Play is fascinating indeed. And it's a special, very special fundraiser involving video games and a special event coming up really soon. But I'm going to cross over to you, Kyle, and ask you exactly, what is Child's Play for a start?
Sure. Well, Child's Play is an organisation based in America that has a network of about 70 hospitals, including two in Australia and one in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they gather fundraising activities and they pull those funds together and they use them to purchase toys and video games for kids in hospitals.
Cool. Right. Well, that sounds wonderful. Now, really, when I first got in touch with you, you got in touch with me, actually. I was pretty excited because it's something that has done very well, I believe, in the US and in particular where it was... started, wasn't that right?
Yeah, started in the US in 2003.
Yeah, and it's doing so well. I mean, there are so many games that we have at home that once we've played them once, or in your case, Bailey, not open the package even, we give them up, we throw them away, or we put them on the shelf collecting dust. And this is a great way, obviously, to give back to kids who are suffering and their families and give them a bit of respite, would you say?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, it's all about, the term they use is about normalizing the hospital environment because it's a scary place. It's strange for the kids, it's strange for the families, and this gives them an activity to do that kind of distracts them from the fact that they might have an IV drip in their hand or they've got an MRI scan in half an hour or something.
Yeah, big scary machines and I guess... the machines that they're probably more comfortable with, at ease with.
Exactly.
Is a console in their hand. I know I would be. Probably my iPhone. I mean, Android phone, whatever it is. See, I'm still getting around that. I'm not a tech person, but you are, I believe, Kyle, your background.
Yeah, I'm pretty nerdy. Sure. Why not?
Pretty nerdy. So tell us more how people can find out about this particular event that's coming up.
Yeah, well, Child's Play is an American-based organisation, but we're running an event specifically in Melbourne. It's called Oh Hi Doggy, and what we're doing is we're running a screening of the cult film The Room.
Goodness.
Mm.
So, is that a good idea?
No. Honestly?
For those who've seen it, they'll know what I mean.
It's a trap.
It is, yeah. And we're not talking Star Wars, we're talking another trap.
Yeah. But it's for a good cause. The idea is to get people together and watch an awful film, but for a good cause.
Look, when I say awful, it's
amazingly
it's a passionately
awful,
made film, let's face it. It's a lot of passion went into the making of it. You can see that in every shot. I'm not going to say hands up, but say I who's seen it. Brendan?
I have.
I've seen parts.
Parts. You couldn't bear it.
I've seen the flower shop.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. So Bailey hasn't gone all the way with this one.
No.
And Carl, have you actually seen it yourself?
I've actually, well, I'm with Bailey. I've only seen parts of it. This concept came with a friend of mine, Will Owen. Okay. And he's the one who actually suggested The Room. And so I watched a little bit of it, but when we actually have the screening on July 6th, that will actually be my first time watching it. So we can all experience a terror together.
And with plastic spoons. I don't
give
too much away, but it is fun. It's audience,
an event film.
Audience participation. Mm. It's not quite Rocky Horror. You wouldn't say it's enjoyable, but it's not horrific. It's not gory.
No,
it's just incredibly passionately made.
We say horrific,
especially the love scenes.
Yeah, the sex scenes. Those are horrific.
What on earth was he thinking? But look, fantastic film, and for a really, really, really important and great cause. So, what are the details now, Kyle? For people to find themselves there.
Yeah, well, all the details are at the website, which is ohidoggy.com, and doggy spelled with an IE. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be at July 6th at Arrow and Swanston, which is at 488 Carlton Street. 4888 Swanston Street in Carlton.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it starts at 8 o'clock, and $15 will get you entry, and some spoons. We'll be handing out plastic spoons at the door.
And those are free. The spoons are free.
The spoons are a bonus. Yes.
They will be. I'm glad they're not real silver.
Yes.
Could hurt someone with those, couldn't you? Yeah. I've seen a horror film where they use teaspoons, but that was another story. Look, it's a fantastic event and idea, Carl. I'm really impressed by this, and it did catch my eye when you got in touch with me. So certainly if you're someone who loves the concept of video games and sharing them, and also you love bad films as well, or cult classic as The Room is, and you want to do something good with yourself, when you've got time away from the console yourself, this is a good event to go to for Child's Play here in Melbourne. Fantastic. Okay, Kyle, you're not off the hook yet. We've still got a bit of time. You look a bit nervous. No, just
kidding. I'm just waiting for your lead here.
Oh, so am I. I've been waiting for it all day. Let's see. Now, as far as, you know, you're obviously a video games player, right? I mean, if you were a kid, as a kid, what was your favourite game growing up?
Look, I got really into like Nintendo multiplayer, so like Star Fox, Super Smash Bros, like high school especially. Like those were the best multiplayer games.
I love Smash Brothers.
I know, right?
Yeah. What's good about it? As a kid, do you think kids still like those sort of games?
Sure, they're still making the same games, aren't they?
Yeah. See, what do I know?
Yeah, no, I reckon kids still love it.
Yeah.
I still like most of these games.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Brendan, are you a games person?
I'm not so much a gamer, no.
Yeah.
I love,
at least I've got somebody.
I love
I
my phone
to.
Games, though. I love my tennis and my cricket on my phone.
Oh, okay, app games, yep.
Apps and stuff. But yeah, not actual console games anymore. Mm. Just not really my thing. But I used to love Sega Mega Drive. That's showing my age a little bit.
Yeah.
But
Well, I'm not going to even mention one word, Pong. Anyway, that's really showing my age. We were there when it was invented, guys. Step back. All right, look, Kyle, it's great to have you on tonight. And once again, what's that website address?
Yeah, thanks. It's the website is www.ohidoggy.com, and doggy is spelled with an IE.
Oh, that's great. Look, thanks again, and all the best, and hope to find out how it goes and the success. And you'll be putting that, I guess, on the Facebook and also on the website too.
Yes, we're also on Facebook and Twitter if you're into that kind of thing.
Yep.
But yeah, hopefully we'll see some of you on Saturday, July 6th.
Cool, okay. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ Community Radio Station, Joy 94.9.
Just when you thought it was safe to turn on the radio, Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, and I just want to say thanks again to Carl Evans from the Child's Play event, which is hidoggy.com. You can check that out. We'll pop that on the Facebook too. It's a great event, and it's just uncanny that it's about children. And we were talking about that off air, weren't we, Brendan and Bailey?
Sure, yeah. Yep.
Just one of those uncanny coincidences, just that, you know, a lot of great things are coming up in July. It is still June, but, you know, we need to move it along. And obviously this is a great way to raise funds and awareness of just what happens with kids and their families when they have a very serious medical condition or something, and they have to be taken care of inside a massive place like a hospital. And it's pretty scary. I mean, that's a horror story in itself.
Yeah.
So this is a good way to help those kids.
Yeah. And so I can really relate to that.
You can relate to that?
Yeah, I broke my knee when I was 13, 12, 13. Oh, really, Bailey? And so I had to go in hospital for like 3 days.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So how old were you when that happened?
I was about 13.
About 13?
Yeah.
Scary? Yeah. Was it scary?
Oh, it was awful. It was terrifying.
Really? Oh, I'm sorry. Awful. Yeah. That explains a lot. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. That's great. What severe traumatic accident happened to you when you were 13?
I don't know where to start, really. Getting to 13 was pretty traumatic. But anyway, that's probably a different topic altogether. No. We really don't want to get into that. We're looking at those lovely children.
So, yeah, speaking... but going from, you know, lovely, gorgeous kids...
Yep.
Who need help.
Who need help. Yep. We're talking about... Evil kids that don't need help.
Don't need help, but...
The little Damians of the world.
Yes.
Yeah, we need help from them exactly. to get away from them. All right. Now, this was actually Bailey's idea, so I think Bailey needs to take responsibility about these creepy children.
It wasn't my idea.
Yes, it was, isn't it?
No.
I thought it was, because you do the A to Z of horror.
Yeah, C, which was, I don't know, like 8 whole letters ago was children.
Count. Yeah.
I don't know. It was probably like 4 or 5.
I think we talked about doing this as a topic, though.
Oh.
We did.
Yeah, sure. We did. Exactly. Yeah. I remember that.
And
exactly.
I said, you do it.
And I said, no.
And I'm saying, you do it now. And I'm saying, no. What I'm going to say is, where would you want to start? How would you start off and talk about the
creepy children?
Yeah. Where is the creepy?
I think probably the creepiest children that I've ever seen in any movie, at least so far, would probably be Village of the Damned.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's
a classic. The original.
Oh, is that the original? No.
No, there was
the remake.
The remake.
Oh, I haven't seen the remake.
There's actually Linda an Italian. Hamilton. I think it's Italian.
Oh.
Maybe I just found a really weird, dodgy copy that was Italian. Oh, but anyway, there's a black and white one, and then there's one that's remade. I have absolutely no idea when, but... yeah, we go into this show really well researched.
Is that the Linda Hamilton one, though?
I'm pretty sure it is.
Christopher Reeve. Isn't it? Wow.
Yeah.
And Christopher Reeve.
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful? Because our segue for next week's show, which we can talk about now if you want, is Superman, our Superman special. So we probably will be mentioning Mr. Reeve.
Mm. That's pretty cool.
At some point.
We would have to,
from the original Superman movies.
Yes.
Brendan.
I love that movie actually as well, even though... It was a remake, I think, of Children of the Damned, which I haven't seen. I do have it there to watch. But I sort of love some of the older ones as well. Like, you look at The Exorcist or The Omen. The Omen's more like the evil kid. Mm. The Exorcist is kind of evil by
little Regan.
Position.
Yeah.
So that's not really her fault, but Damien, he's a little bugger.
Yeah, let's face it.
He's just the devil.
No, but he's born that way. It's not his fault either, you see.
We need to accept him for how he is.
Both of them are really about children. Those ones in particular are about something that happens externally, I think, to a child and possesses the child or gets inside the child, which is very disturbing. Yeah. They're not actually children that... They kind of get off the hook because they're not children that, for example, are driven to or... Something happens to them that they want to become particularly evil.
Yeah, they're not evil like by that. Themselves.
No.
That's true.
They need Satan to help them, and that's what they get, don't they?
Yep.
Pretty much.
They get a lot of help from Satan.
They do. The storyline is about that, evil and possessed children. The Exorcist would be by far one of the most famous ones.
Blair. I think so. Yeah.
Incredibly famous. And then, probably equally, same era, 1970s, and that is the Omen, the early Omen franchise. I didn't think much of the remake. It was just... I watched it and turned it off and went, wow, that was a waste of almost 2 hours.
Yeah.
Wow.
Seriously. Mm. You haven't seen it, Bailey?
Nope.
It's basically, kind of shot for shot, sort of, or it's scene by scene. It is shot differently, but basically you know what's going to, if you've seen the original, you know what's coming next.
Yeah,
and
which
it's
isn't,
just, no.
In our opinion, purely our opinion, not actually very interesting.
Not really. No, it's slightly more overt than the original, but that kind of, it loses the mystique then, because the original had some it just had that evil lurking under the surface the whole time.
Yeah, it was a slow sort of burner, a lot of those 70s films, and then it would have, you know, suddenly somebody's head gets chopped off.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Stuff like that. Like, exactly. Watch out, whoa, that's going to happen. And
yeah,
a little bit like, Final Destination, but not all the time.
Yeah,
as far
but
as
more of a build to it.
More build, yeah.
But now
definitely.
I'm thinking of it, the original Omen was more of a British production and the other was American, so I think that might be the difference as well.
Yeah. It had Lee Remick and the wonderful Christopher Peck.
Yes.
Yes. I met Chris. I touched Christopher Peck's jeans.
Oh, wow.
With a G. With a G.
Oh.
Jeans with a G.
Oh, right. Of course.
His grandson.
Oh.
Yeah. There you go. If I can find his tag, I'll play it. Bailey, come on. Another favourite.
More creepy children?
Okay, more creepy children.
Pet Sematary.
Oh, yes.
It's not the animals that are as creepy. It's the kids.
It's a kid.
Yeah.
Definitely.
No. A child, he gets killed. I think he's hit by a truck early in the film.
Yes.
And then I can't remember how the father finds it out, but he takes the child's body to an Indian burial ground. I'm not making that up. It actually is an Indian burial ground.
Native American
and,
burial ground.
Yeah.
And buries the body there because it's, you know, magical and it brings things back to life. But it came back wrong.
Mm.
Right. Yeah, that does happen a lot. I mean, another really creepy kid that is more recent, not in the movies, so I'm going totally against the whole topic of the show. But, American Horror Story, the first season. The child that, this is a spoiler if you haven't seen this wonderful series, the child that is abducted and, you know, this is what happens to the baby that's abducted by the doctor and taken away and then it comes back in a box. Bits and pieces, and then the doctor sews it together, and it becomes possessed, or it takes on a life of its own, or its own animal spirit.
Sort of like a baby Frankenstein.
Yes, but you never really see it. But that was particularly creepy.
It was
very disturbing because you don't see the child, so it's a new way.
Not fully. You see sort of glances, I think.
A glance or two.
Yeah. You know, like in the shadows or something, but you never see the entire thing.
Well, anyway, this is Ethan Peck. Gregory Peck's grandson. I told you I'd find it. And you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy in 94.9.
I'm Ethan Peck.
You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Hi, Pollyanna McIntosh. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
She happens to have one of the most beautiful voices ever, I think. No, I don't mean the lead singer of Aha. No, he has got a lovely voice indeed. But I mean Pollyanna McIntosh, the woman herself. She's a great she's doing all right already in various horror films. But she is no child. She is immortal. Amortal, like we all are.
Immortal.
And this is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. This is Sonia.
I'm Brendan Bale.
And Bailey.
What are you going to say? Brendan O'Bailey.
Brendan O'Bailey.
Brendan O'Bailey. We're all singing in the studio for Take On Me by Aha, an 80s classic. And we were loving it. But what it has to do with children, I don't know.
Absolutely nothing.
Creepy children, in fact.
We're taking them on. Taking the children
Someone
on
has
tonight.
To. Yeah.
Oh, that was
Someone
a good one.
To keep them in line.
Oh, why didn't I say that?
All right, so tell us some creepy ones that you've got there as far as creepy kids go.
I don't think we can go past the whole J horror craze. J horror, K horror, all the horrors from Asia.
I like where this is going.
So I don't know. I'll get you guys' opinions, but my favorite is The Grudge. I don't know if you feel the same way. Like, we have talked about it a little bit before.
We have, but.
But. Yeah, in terms of, like, the intensity between the remakes and the originals, I think the originals are a little bit more intense, but sort of, like, the scripting of the American version's a bit better.
Yeah.
Just a little bit more cohesive.
And we love Michelle Geller.
How can you not
Sarah Michelle?
Sarah Michelle. Oh.
Just incredible. Like,
and even as a gay man...
She really put that in there, though. She did. Her performance.
She brought it.
She brung it. Oops. Bailey,
what's your opinion?
Opinion time.
I haven't seen
it. Not on my grammar, but on...
No. Your grammar is atrocious.
Thank you. No thank problem. Us. Thank us. Yeah. Thank me.
No, but I actually have not seen The Grudge.
What about the neither remake version. Of the Ring?
I've seen The Ring, the American Ring. Ring, but not the Japanese original.
You've got to. They are slow burners as far as
I know,
but movement and action, but incredibly... You know, for the foreboding that it has in there and the darkness, sinisterness is insidious.
Well,
creepy children. Yeah, sorry, yes. I just jumped in my head.
Yes, I had that in my little list as well.
You did.
Very much so.
Why do you have it in your list there, Brendan? What's creepy about that?
Should we give away the twist in it?
Of course. Look, it's been out for about a year and a half.
Well, 2010, yes.
Well, it's more than a year and a half.
The twist is the kid is haunted and not the house. So that kind of... Kind of plays into the whole Omen thing again a little bit, but instead of them being the devil incarnate, it's actually just a possession of a kid. So that's kind of interesting.
He's not even really possessed. He's just sort of an empty vessel for most of it.
Yeah.
And then I guess wandering spirits just sort of cruise by and see this empty...
Hey, kid.
Kid, yeah. And say, jump in my van. No, not really.
No.
No.
But, I mean, look, I didn't actually like it. I found it to be such a mishmash and a, like it had picked and poached from so many different other iconic horror films with creepy children.
Yeah.
Like The Shining, you know, Stanley Kubrick and so on and so on.
Poltergeist.
Poltergeist 2 as well.
Like arm dislocatingly heavy from Poltergeist.
Yes, and I just thought, am I watching just a tribute film here for horror films?
Yeah.
Or am I actually seeing something that's doing breaking down something new? But someone explained to me recently the... you know, attributes of it. And I went, okay, I could probably sit through and watch it again.
Yeah.
And I believe there's going to be a sequel.
Insidious Chapter 2. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah. I'm more looking forward to James Wan's other film, The Conjuring.
Oh, I'm dying for that film.
Creepy from the trailer.
We love creepy and children in it.
Yeah.
And it's got that
Bailey, you got any creeps?
Oh, I had a good one.
Creepy kids.
But now it's out of, I just lost it.
Oh, if anybody...
Wait, no, got it. Sinister.
Oh, well, yes. Fantastic movie.
Yeah.
Fantastic movie. I was about to mention that earlier, actually, as well, because that's...
It has
Scott
a,
Derrickson. Yeah.
It has a twist ending, which I'm going to avoid.
No, don't, because I haven't actually seen it.
No, I'm going to avoid spoiling it.
Yeah.
Because, frankly, I think Sinister is one of the scariest movies I've ever seen in my entire life. I
completely agree.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's got a... great twist ending. I mean, a lot of people hate the twist ending, and I can see why, but for me, I loved it. But there's a lot of very creepy ghost children for most of it, and there's sort of like a really heavy sort of... I don't know the word, but it's like it's sort of weighing down the entire...
Yeah, the whole dread.
The entire mood of the house.
Yeah.
Oh.
Of all these children that in previously had been either abducted or murdered.
Right.
In this chain of bizarre serial killings.
Okay. But Sinister. I'll have to get around to it eventually.
Yeah. But I think the difference between Insidious and Sinister is that imagery they use with the sort of evil character.
Yeah.
In Sinister, it's creepy as all heck.
And subtlety goes very far.
And more subtle, yes. Whereas
Insidious,
it's kind of like that creepy
Here's our set piece.
So
go
creepy.
Look at it. Stare at it. Just watch it jump around in the light for a minute.
Goodness. Not too scary.
Well, I was thinking of one too, of course. Birth.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, nope, I don't know that one.
Nicole Kidman, where she believes... I mean, it's a little bit different. It's more like a type of haunting reincarnation idea, if people haven't seen it. It came out in 2004, and she's a widow, Anne, played by... Nicole Kidman, of course. And she basically meets, after her husband's passing, she meets a young boy 10 years later called Joseph, who's there at the particular party that she's... throwing, and this kid knows so many details about her life, and she begins to believe that it's actually her husband, and he's just a kid, and it's a very unusual relationship develops between them.
Wow.
Yeah. It's not truly horror, but it's really quite moving, and it leaves you feeling... questioning a lot of...
Well, it is, yeah. So
a lot of ideas about creepy children and...
Yeah, I like that you brought it up. It is. It's very much, and it plays both sides.
Yeah,
it sort of tries to kind of set out. Maybe she's imagining it.
Maybe,
or
maybe
she's
crazy and
or...
should be arrested, or yeah. you know, or maybe he really is the reincarnation. Mm. Which isn't that just about ghosts as well? If you think about it, is the child possessed?
Yeah.
By the ghost of her dead husband. Just some ideas there. And,
well, I think it throws up a lot of ideas. I can't actually remember the ending, so maybe it didn't end so strongly. But it had some great questions that it brought up.
Yeah, it was pretty vague at the end, if I believe.
Oh, okay.
But there is a psychopathology aspect to it, which is also interesting. But
it sounds very interesting.
I'm trying to remember the other film.
It's not horror. It's not strictly horror as such.
No.
That's fine. I watch other movies sometimes.
It's not Children of the Corn, naturally. No. You can't get creepy than that kid.
I can't believe we've gone 40 minutes and we've only just mentioned Children of the Corn. But it's kind of one of those given.
Yeah. Yeah.
Creepy.
You don't really need to mention it.
Well, I did. Sorry.
You went there.
And, of course, little Danny, you know, red rum.
Yes.
The Shining. Yes. Can't go past him and his little friend.
But speaking of just evil children, have you seen The Good Son with Macaulay Culkin?
No.
It's a great little
film. Is
this
horror?
It's borderline horror.
Really?
It's sort of, it's just this evil kid who does horrible things, but it's nothing supernatural, nothing anything like that. He's just a bad seed. Basically.
Bad seeds, yeah. Where do they come from, these bad seeds? I'm looking at Bailey.
Don't really.
I can't help it. Ever since your knee operation story, it's just.
Oh, yeah.
That gave me the creeps, actually, because knees are very sensitive.
Oh, yeah.
Parts of the body. Have you got any more creeps? Creepy children.
Any more creepy children? Oh, I think I don't remember.
Have you seen Orphan?
No.
Oh.
See, Orphan's another
Orphan
one.
Orphan is... But there's a real twist.
Yes.
So I don't want to spoil it for... No. Yeah, because you need to see it, Bailey. I don't want to spoil
no,
it.
No, we won't spoil it, but
if anybody else out there has seen Orphan, and we can spoil it for me or for Bailey. You can SMS us on 0427JOY949 or email us on air at joy.org.au because there's probably mountains of kids we haven't crossed yet.
Exactly.
But... Orphan is pretty bizarre.
It's it's very entertaining. It's sort of like an action horror kind of thing.
It's just completely manic.
It is.
It's like this child. I mean, and it's like turning the volume up.
Yes.
Like when she screams, it's like the whole cinema was just shaking with this child screaming.
Wow.
You've got the way she physically destroys things. Because she has these terrible tantrums. I can relate to that. But they... Seriously, you've never seen a tantrum until you've seen Orphan.
Yes.
We highly recommend it,
don't we,
Brendan?
We do here at Silent Scream.
Okay. All right. I'll put it on my list.
Yeah, well, more of creepy stuff in the moment because I'm going to be try my best to do World War Z review.
Yes.
It's been a long time coming. And quick going, I think. All right, this is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Declared martial law.
Daddy, what's martial law?
How do we know they're coming?
They're coming. Ready?
It's the same worldwide. Is anyone doing better than we are?
We've lost the East Coast. Moscow's still dark. Life as we know it will come to an end in 90 days. It's on us to change that.
When we talk about the end of humanity,
I think these things have a weakness.
So Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Yeah, look, World War Z, that was the trailer. What can one say really after all that? Now, I saw this last week with one of our old co-hosts, Emma O'Connor, and she was supposed to come on the show, but in any case, we'll have a go. Well, I'll have a go at trying to talk about this film that's been so greatly anticipated. Really has. I don't know about you guys, but a lot of people have been waiting for many, since 2006 for this film to come along.
I've been waiting for a while.
Since 2006? Bailey?
No, no, not even close. I'm going to say 3 years.
Yeah, so it's been in the pipelines for quite a while. There's been lots of different changes to it. This is World War Z 2013, the apocalyptic horror film based, of course, on the Max Brooks novel with the same name. And it stars, of course, Brad Pitt, who's also the main producer for this, as Jerry Lane, a UN worker. Directed by Mark Forster. There's been so many changes to this film. I believe Terry Gilliam was supposed to be involved early on as well. So it's been stopped, it's been started. And does it show in the actual production when you sit down and watch it? Uh-huh.
Mm.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Just like the song. Mm. Yes, indeed, it does, which is unfortunate for something that's had a lot of real primary hype in the last 6 to 8 months at least. The dates for it to be released have been put off. It was supposed to be released, I believe it was just after Christmas, the new year, when they do a lot of releases then. It was held off because it wasn't completed with final production shots. And then it was supposed to be released earlier in April. That didn't work, so they were then... I was led to believe it was going to come out in November, and then they brought it right forward, quickly tidied it up, and it's out this week.
Shoved it out the door.
Well, it's released nationwide through Paramount Studios in Australia here on the 20th, so that's this Thursday. So, look, it's production company B Entertainment. They secured the rights back in 2007, and originally Matthew Michael Carnahan was supposed to be the person to write and help direct it. He did so much rewriting on it. Filming began in 2011, so that's quite a while back in Malta, and at that point it was a $125 million budget. I know I'm talking about all the details behind it, but I think what I'm trying to get at is it starts to show in the production. And also, spoilers for everyone, but if you have read the book by Max Brooks, which is incredible, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago when I did a review of the actual book, which is the first time I've read it, and I thoroughly enjoyed it, if enjoy is the word for it. It's such a well-crafted, segmented book. This, I'm afraid, is nothing like the book as such. There are a couple little characters in there that are leftovers almost that have been put in, which don't make sense. They don't connect. And one of them is a character played by David Morse. I think he's supposed to be an undercover CIA agent, and he's been interviewed in this holding cell. But the character that Brad Pitt plays as a main protagonist is a UN worker. It doesn't really match, obviously, the character in the book as the interviewer that goes to talk to people who've survived the apocalyptic events of when World War Z breaks out. So yeah, there's going to be disappointment there, and I think I heard a few people rustling in the theatre that were going, you know, this collective sigh.
Wow.
Which was a bit sad. But, you know, look, as far as how the film looks, it's very impressive, I must admit. Special effects are amazing. I wanted more of that. I wanted more action to fill in the gaps where it seems like we were just concentrating on one story, and that's the Brad Pitt character's story about trying to find where the virus originates from. And it just got clunkier and clunkier, and I'm afraid there wasn't enough zombie action. And when they were, yeah, they were running way too fast for me to catch there. Rotting teeth looking at me or anything. Do you know, that was they're very fast moving now, like Infecteds from 28 Days Later. They're not the true zombie, and you don't get that feeling of doom, real doom, if that makes sense. People still felt safe, whereas with the book, nobody feels really safe. How people survive is usually by accident in the book. You feel that it's either accident, luck, or sheer total bravery. And this, you don't get that sense of that at all.
Do you think they possibly spent too much money on it, in a way? Because I think a lot of...
To get the looks of it and the style, I think they... And the effects, I think they did spend a lot on CGI.
Yeah, but do you think they sort of... It gets away, like, most zombie films, most successful ones, are generally the low-budget ones.
Colin. Has anyone seen Colin in the studio?
Yeah? No, I don't think so.
Is that the one with...
It Billy. Has no stars in it at all.
Oh.
It was made for £38 in London about 5 years ago. It is an extraordinary zombie film. It's from one of the very first POV point of views of a zombie's existence, of their emotions and their what they see themselves as a zombie, how they feel.
Mm.
Way before Warm Bodies, way before any other sort of story similar.
That's pretty cool.
I recommend it. It's amazing. It's a handheld camera. It's very cheap. I totally recommend it.
Fantastic. What did they spend the £38? Was it? What?
Makeup. Not that good either, but £38 makeup and I believe meat pies and coffee.
Gotta eat.
For the crew and the tape, you know, or the disc. That was it.
Wow.
And some of the gear. Seriously, it's worth it.
I think with the lower budgets, you have to try harder. Like, but then again, with that book, I guess it did need the budget, but they must have just got lost track of the actual heart of the story.
It feels like the film feels jarring, stopping and starting, and then it just has these very strange moments that are so long when they're on the aircraft carrier type ship where they've been protected by the Defence Force, but only if you can offer, you know, the Defence Force something in return, and this UN expert who's Jerry, played by Brad Pitt, who's in every single shot, let's face it, Brad Pitt's in every single shot. But the book's not about a single person.
Yeah.
This is the thing where it does fall down. It's not about a collective survival situation. It's about just one person and looking for the origin, and it just doesn't work, makes sense.
Really,
but watch out for cameos. There's some great little cameos of some British actors who've been in things like 28 Days Later and things like that. So it's just not the collective experience that
That's
you expect.
That's a shame.
I know, I've spoiled it for you now, Bailey.
Oh, well, no, I was expecting it to be awful.
I haven't read the book, so I think I still wanted to see it, but I'll just keep my expectations quite low.
But interesting here, little bit of a bit of information, is that Drew Goddard from Cabin in the Woods, the director, was hired to rewrite some of the final parts of the script.
Well, it didn't have an ending at one stage, I don't think.
No, they didn't.
They'd already started shooting.
Yeah, they didn't finish shooting it until October 2012, the ending.
Gosh.
And I'm afraid I can't even really remember the ending. That's pretty ending. That's pretty final, isn't it? It's just, it felt a little bit like Legend, the ending. Like, I am Legend.
Oh,
everyone
yeah.
will be okay. Wave a flag for patriotism and off into the sunset in Nova Scotia where they've got a refugee camp. And there's lots of spoilers in this tonight. Sorry, guys, but it can't be helped. In my opinion, yeah, look, I'm giving this 1 out of 5.
Ouch.
World War Z, and that hurts.
Far out.
Ouchy, ouchy.
Because I gave After Earth, I gave that 1.5. You gave it a 1.
It's worse than After
Earth. Yeah, I gave it a 1.
You gave it a 1.
And you gave it a 1.5.
I know. Actually, After Earth was better.
How
oh my God.
That better?
Because it was humorous. At least there was humor. You know, I wish Sean Pegg had been involved in World War Z. He would have been great as a producer for it.
Well,
like, he would have put some maybe more interesting, not saying that apocalypses are funny, but they can be amusing at times.
Well, I think we've got to the stage where we've had so many serious kind of zombie movies and stuff. You know, you can't take it 100% seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't. Well,
in a way.
I just think, yeah.
Unless
I think there's some,
to you.
Some sad decisions here. A lot of money going up in smoke.
Yes.
And things just not really complete. But they'll get the money back, I'm sure of it. It premiered in London a few weeks ago. Look, it's out now through IMAX 3D and everything, and every place probably on Earth will be playing it. Story by Matthew Michael Camahan, as far as the screenplay goes, and J. Michael Straczynski, based on the book by Max Brooks, starring Brad Pitt. What more do you need to know? It's just Brad Pitt, really. And music. The music was interesting. Marco Beltrami. It sounded like 28 Days Later. That was very interesting. But also Muse did the soundtrack involved in that too. So
really?
Bit of a crossover there. Look, it's Plan B Entertainment, GK Films, Hemisphere Media Capital, and Skydance Productions, distributed, like I said, by Paramount Pictures. 116 minutes, and it cost $200 million to date.
That's probably why, because Brad Pitt owns Plan B.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think that might be why he's doing
the
whole global route.
He's probably a big fan of the book.
Then why would he do this?
Because he wants himself in it. I don't know. I can't. I didn't get to talk to him. I wanted
Big
to talk
fan
to him,
of money.
But couldn't get there. Aww. So anyway, it's always good to see another zombie movie up there on the big screen,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, exactly.
But it would be nice if it was had a little bit more teeth in it. Because you don't see enough of the zombies. That was my problem too.
Can't have a zombie movie without zombies.
Well, I don't know. Can you?
Well, should you? No.
No, definitely not. No. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy in 94.9.
Hey, this is Fran Kranz, Joss Whedon's Basil, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on 94.9.
Hi, this is Noah Hathaway. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam, Joy 94.9.
Yes, Noah Hathaway. Now, he wasn't a creepy child from The Neverending Story. I don't think so.
No.
There's creepy things in there, but yes. This is Sci-Fi and Scream, of course, on Joy 94.9. We've had a message.
We do. Brendan. Lovely Stephen from One Turner. We were talking about Orphan earlier,
yes.
But we didn't want to give away the twist. And he hasn't either, but he says, Orphan, where everything is not what it seems. And it certainly is not.
Bailey. Everything is not what it seems.
Good.
When it comes to creepy children.
Fantastic.
Give us a creepy child that... Well, I don't know. It's a bit like not what it seems. Got any? You can pull out?
Yep. No, I got a really good one. I was thinking about this a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
The children from A Nightmare on Elm Street, the creepier children in the white dresses who play like hopscotch and, you know, on the skipping ropes and sing the song.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't think of those.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
It only hit me a few minutes ago. It's good because
like
they're both like a warning and a, you know, a foreboding sort of presence. They add a lot of atmosphere.
They're creepy, but they serve a purpose.
Yeah, they're creepy, but they're helpful.
Yes.
Sort of.
Brendan.
Well, a couple of my favourite movies, The Sixth Sense and The Others.
Oh, yeah.
So kind of...
The Others is amazing.
And both of them sort of have children in it, or ghost children, who you think are evil, but they're once again trying to help in a way. Is it Misha Barton in The Sixth Sense? She plays a little girl under the bed, and she's...
That's fantastic. She's fantastic in that. She's fantastic in most things.
Well, she is, yes. But yeah, she wasn't exactly evil, but it's kind of set that way, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of creepy.
Bailey, last one.
Last one.
Last rounds.
Oh, okay. No, I got nothing.
You got nothing?
No, wait. The zombie baby from Dawn of the Dead remake.
Oh
yeah, yeah. That is just creepy from the inside out.
Yeah.
Literally.
Literally.
All right, guys. Well, look, it's wonderful to be talking creepy, creepy kids. Certainly, there's a lot on that topic, and we'll put some more on Facebook, and we'll have to go deeper next time around when that time of the year comes. Maybe children are creepy for Christmas or something, since Christmas is about children, isn't it? Or one in particular.
No, not really.
Well, next week we've got a Superman special. We've got some fantastic guests in the studio. We'll have myself, of course. Vicky Isett will be coming in from the premiere itself in Sydney, so we're pretty excited about that. And we've also got Andy Hawkins, so we'll be seeing the movie next week and reviewing it. One of the first shows to do so here at Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Thank you for listening. Thanks, Brendan.
Thank you for having
coming
me.
Coming in again. And Bailey, of course, from the A to Z.
Thank you for having me.
And Ralph. Good one, Ralph.
He
creepy
says, thank
octopus.
You.
He had a good show.
He's not. All right. Up next, The Single Life of John and Michelle, only on Joy 94.9. Good night.
Are you prepared for the zombie apocalypse? In case of emergency, break glass and tune in to Joy 94.9 on a Tuesday night for Sci-Fi and Scream.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.